We'll call the meeting to order. Roll call, please.
Commissioner Keith?
Here.
Commissioner Dunlap?
Here.
Commissioner Hess? Here.
Would you please stand for the pledge?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Okay, can I have a motion to approve the minutes for March 25th?
Second.
All in favor, aye. Aye. Opposed, the same. Okay, this time. Okay, this time we'll hear public comment. I will ask anybody who's making public comment. Please state your name, full name, and you will have 3 minutes to make your comment. After 3 minutes, you will hear the alarm going off. I will ask you at that point to wrap up. So, first one we have on, Jessica Job. Good morning.
Good morning. Just staying here until we'll come. Jessica Job. I appreciate the commissioner's recognition reported in the Indiana Gazette recently that there's a lot to learn about the kind of development proposed by Homer City Redevelopment. My comments today are related to the AI data center part of the proposal. Problems with data centers have been well documented, from increased energy bills to noise and light pollution, as well as incredible strain on water resources. It is no wonder that people across the political spectrum oppose these. A recent poll indicates that 68% of Pennsylvanians would oppose building an AI data center in their community compared with 20% who would support it. Where does that leave a community grappling with a proposed one, particularly given the fast track push from the state as well as from AI firms? What is at risk because of speed? At a recent webinar I attended on data centers, the guest was an energy industry lawyer, and he explained one of the problems with local ordinances and data center rapid build-out. He used the example that a typical local ordinance is written for perhaps a plan to build a Lowe's store, but he stressed not a hyperscale data center. He then invited the audience to imagine a Lowe's store multiplied tenfold. If one is built in Indiana County, it is clear that an entirely new ordinance would be needed to address the huge range of concerns they bring, significantly environmental strain and degradation, and that safeguards would be needed given the associated health implications. One approach communities are taking is to implement a moratorium on development of data centers. In fact, I read that community organizing has already halted several projects across Pennsylvania, including one in Cumberland County, where residents raised many concerns, among them the shocking projected levels of water usage. A pause doesn't solve the problems, of course, but it gives local municipalities time to research all the implications and figure out the best ways to proceed for their constituents. Whose interests are served by this push for speed? Let's remember that it is the tech executives who benefit from a technology designed to replace human labor, thereby saving labor costs. This certainly complicates the claim that these facilities are about economic development, though I understand that that is one of the arguments used here for charging ahead with the HCR plan. Is there any common ground among the various interests? A recent piece from the Pennsylvania Municipal League, a nonpartisan group, while acknowledging the incredible pressure from the governor's office for speed, urges that local governments should enact what works best for the community. Given these concerns, I would urge the commissioners, if not to outright reject the proposed AI data center plan, at the minimum to proactively implement a pause for time to research the way forward, both in terms of an adequate ordinance and for the environment that will best serve constituents' needs. Thank you.
Thank you, Jessica. My next, Susan Comfort. Good morning.
Good morning. I'm Susan Comfort, a resident of Indiana County and a member of Consortium Residents of Western Pennsylvania. I'm here today to urge the commissioners to protect our health, environment, and future by enacting a moratorium on data center development in our county. and at the bare minimum, a pause so that we're able to craft a responsible data center ordinance. I urge this action for several reasons. First, as I've mentioned, community health already suffers and continues to suffer from legacy pollution linked to the former coal-fired Homer City power plant. Building a data center will just compound community exposure to toxins. Data centers, there's already a record that's being established. Data centers built in the last year or so are already causing serious problems for vulnerable communities like Homer City. Musk's AI 8X hyperscale data center in South Memphis has increased smog there from 30 to 60%. Amazon's $10 billion AI data center in Canton, Mississippi, which by the way has fallen far short of providing the promised 1,000 jobs, has created water shortages and spikes of smog and fine particulate matter, potentially causing further harm to children there already suffering from high rates of asthma. As one local activist said, we were promised prosperity but got poisoned air and vanishing water. Second, another reason to pause or enact a moratorium is that we just don't know enough right now about pollution from data centers. For example, just recently, evidence is coming out that PFAS, also known as forever chemicals, are used in data center cooling systems that discharge into watersheds. Also, a just released study from Cambridge University of 8,400 data centers shows that data centers create heat islands, increasing surrounding temperatures by an average of 3.6 degrees Fahrenheit and up to 16 degrees Fahrenheit. I want to say finally that this mad rush to build data centers forecloses future possibilities for us. The world is dramatically turning to renewable energy. Some example, Texas receives 40% of its energy from renewable wind and solar. Texas. The demand for EV vehicles is surging in Europe right now. Finally, solar installations are cheaper and faster to build than fossil fuel or nuclear plants. Many Pennsylvania municipalities are pausing data center development in order to draft robust ordinance protections, which should include, at minimum, air pollution analysis, water analysis, public disclosure of chemical use and treatment processes and water cooling processes, drought year modeling and peak water demand analysis, protections on water withdrawal limits, and so on. Thank you.
Thank you, Susan. Next, we have Lee Hendricks.
Hi, good morning. My name is Lee Hendricks, and we've seen one another before recently. I'm an Indiana County resident, also a member of Crow, Concerned Residents of Western PA. And I'm back again so soon because of my concern and because time is of the essence with regards to protecting our communities. So sort of building on some of what we've already heard this morning. Last time I was here, I told you my comment was a plea for action, for transparency, and for you to use your power to prioritize the health and safety of our community over the unreliable promises of industry related to the fracked gas power plant and the data center that they wanted to power. And I urged you to create a data center ordinance. And today I'm not here to plead, but to propose a pathway to protecting our community with a well-prepared ordinance. And so this is a little bit of the nitty-gritty. We're talking Pennsylvania Municipal Planning Code, and I figure this is your wheelhouse and you guys know about this stuff. And for those of us who don't, maybe this is a little more opaque and new, to initiate creating a robust and appropriate data center ordinance, the commissioners can invoke section 609.2 of the Pennsylvania Municipalities Code. This is the procedure for municipal curative amendments, and we need a curative amendment because the current ordinance is inadequate in the face of such a massive and novel project, right? And so this may sound a little unusual to folks who are familiar with this process, because it's usually landowners challenging zoning this way, declaring something's inadequate and providing an amendment. Lost in place. The county can also determine that its own zoning is inadequate. And once they declare zoning inadequate, commissioners will have 30 days to pass a resolution that outlines the specific reasons for doing this, and then 180 days to develop amendments and ordinances that can account for data centers and ensure their development is appropriately constrained. Throop Borough in Lackawanna County has done this recently to ensure their community is prepared in the event of a data center being proposed, and Indiana County can do it too. So I will close by saying this. I don't think there's any good reason not to have a robust data center ordinance, sort of wherever you fall on your thoughts on this project. It is a fact that we don't have one that accounts for projects like this, and few places do, because it is all moved really quickly by design, right, to prevent local communities from being prepared to respond. So there is legislation proposed for data center moratoriums right at the federal and state level. And the proposal in Pennsylvania is a bipartisan legislation. And all of it is designed to give space for people and communities to understand the risks of these developments and ensure that they have influence over what happens in their own backyards. And so we're asking for you to help us have that influence. And this is something that we can do now. Thank you.
Thank you, Lee. Okay, executive sessions. There were no executive sessions held between March 25th and April 7th. Next, we have a number of proclamations we'd like to present. And we'll start off with the first one with National Government Month, April 2026. The Commissioner Hess, would you like to start, please?
Oh, thank you, Chairman. This is National County Government Month, whereas the nation's 3,069 counties serving more than 330 million Americans provide essential services to create healthy, safe, and vibrant communities. And whereas Indiana County fulfills a large range of responsibilities to deliver services through their 35-plus departments that touch nearly every aspect of our 82,953 residents' lives.
Whereas counties as intergovernmental partners work with local, state, and federal programs to address the needs of all residents. And whereas Indiana County takes pride in our responsibility to protect and enhance the health, well-being, and the safety of our residents in efficient and cost-effective ways. And whereas the nation is celebrating 250 years of independence this year, and counties have a long and rich history of serving residents.
Whereas each year since 1991, the National Association of Counties has encouraged counties across the country to evaluate awareness of county responsibilities, programs, and services. And now, therefore, be it resolved that we, the Commissioners of Indiana County, do hereby proclaim April 2026 as National County Government Month and encourage residents to view the displays in the courthouse and contribute to the collection of items, hygiene products, toothbrushes, toothpaste, comb, shampoo, conditioner, body wash, winter gloves, and hats needed by children through our children to serve our children and youth service agency during the month. Dated this 8th day of April, 2026, I offer this as a motion. Do I have a second?
I'll second that.
All in favor, aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, the same. And being this is County Government Month, would you like to start and put the display and start the displays down in the lobby?
We have some of the departments as they would put displays in the lobby. If you came in through the lobby, you haven't seen the displays. But we also thought it'd be a really good time to focus on some of the needs of our one department of children and youth. Talk to the staff members down there and ask them what do some of the kids really need that you serve. And so that's why we have the drive going on down there. Commissioner Keith listed the items. If you didn't remember them, you can see the list down there on the boxes. We'll leave those boxes out throughout the month, and then we will have them picked up and taken to Children and Youth.
Jess?
Well, good morning, everyone. I have said for a long time that counties are not just bureaucrats and offices and brick and mortar. We are agents of hope, agents of change. And every day that we get to come and do this job is a day that we are honored to serve the people of Indiana County and beyond. So I thank all of our individuals who serve as county employees. These are not easy jobs all the time, but I think every single one of them does also feel a great honor to be able to do that for the public. Public service is an honor. Thank you.
County government is very interesting. I actually served in the public sector most of my career for over 30 years. And then one day I decided that I had enough of that and decided to get into government. And I started out as a township supervisor, which it was an awakening, because honestly, private industry does not work like government. Government, and you'll hear me say it, I don't like government, for the simple reason is it takes too long. But it's there for a reason. It's there for a reason, for processes. And we heard that today, actually, through the public comments. I will say, though, in the Commonwealth, it's a different system than most of our nation actually sees as far as counties. Because in the Commonwealth, there are levels of government. Your local government, we've always said local government is the most powerful government in Pennsylvania. And then you go to the next step is county government. In county government, we have many services that we offer our residents throughout the Commonwealth. And then you move into the state level. So when it gets into that, some things county government cannot trump other governments. And that's what we face here in the Commonwealth. But I will say, Indiana County, and I will say this on behalf of the board, Indiana County, we are fortunate to have a county government system that we do, because we have over 35 departments, and over 35 of those departments who serve you as residents of Indiana County, they also have employees underneath them. And we have quarterly meetings with our elected officials and our directors. And one thing that we do, we actually acknowledge it's not the commissioners that make the difference. It's not the directors or the other elected officials that make the difference. It's the employees. It's a total team in Indiana County. We are fortunate that we can actually go and speak to our president judge at any time, and we can actually have a great conversation. And at the end of the day of the conversation, we come up with a great plan. And we do that with every level of our departments, which we're very fortunate. And I thank them for that, because again, we don't have that team, it doesn't work. In Indiana County, it works. So I want to thank all those employees of the county, along with the directors and the elected officials, for doing such a great job and basically working with us, because it's sometimes it's challenging. So next proclamation, National Library Week. National Library Week, April 19th through the 25th of 2026. Whereas library sparks creativity, fuel imagination, and inspires long life learning, offering a space where individuals of all ages can find joy through exploration and discovery. And whereas libraries serve as vibrant community hubs, connecting people with knowledge, technology, and resources while fostering civic engagement, critical thinking, and cultural enrichment. And whereas libraries provide free and equitable access to books, digital tools, and innovative programming, ensuring that all individuals, regardless of background, have the support they need to learn, connect, and thrive.
And whereas libraries partner with schools, businesses, and organizations to maximize resources, increase efficiency, and expand access to essential services, strengthening the entire community. And whereas libraries empower job seekers, entrepreneurs, and lifelong learners by providing access to resources, training, and opportunities that support career growth and economic success. And whereas libraries nurture young minds through story times, STEAM programs, and literacy initiatives, fostering curiosity and a love of learning that lasts a lifetime.
Whereas libraries protect the right to read, think, and explore without censorship, standing as champions of intellectual freedom and free expression. And whereas dedicated librarians and library workers provide welcoming spaces that inspire discovery, collaboration, and creativity for all. Whereas libraries, librarians, and library workers across the country are joining together to celebrate National Library Week under the theme, Find Your Joy. Now, therefore, be it resolved that we, the commissioners of Indiana County, proclaim April 19th, 2025, 2026. As National Library Week. During this week, we encourage all residents to visit their libraries, explore their resources, and celebrate all the ways that the library helps our community find joy. Hmm. I provide this as a motion to accept this proclamation.
Second.
I'll second that.
All in favor, aye.
Aye.
Aye. Is there anybody here?
Well, I have the agenda right here. It's the lead, folks.
We have several representatives. You have a very, Indiana County has a very, very strong library system, and I want to thank everyone here who's here to represent. There are some very passionate libraries, librarians, library staff, library workers, and essentially communities who've been able to, we strongly find joy where in whatever we do with our libraries and our communities. And we're able to do that because of you, as you brought up, Mike, about the local government being the strongest, because of our local township supervisors, our borough councils, school councils, we've been able to be even stronger. And because of your compassion for libraries and communities, we've been able to get bigger and serve even more people and find joy in our communities. So we really appreciate you, and thank you so much for supporting libraries.
Introduce everybody. Okay, yes. Yourself and then everybody else.
Oh, yeah, certainly. I'm Jen Van Hannock. I'm the library director for Borough Township Library. Behind me is Gina Van Maitre. She's the library assistant at Borough Township Library. We also have Lori Fletcher. She's the Indiana Free Library Director. And Lacey Vetko is here. She is the grants manager for Indiana Free Library. Marcy Perfetti is here. She is the new Blairsville Public Library Director. And then we also have Ted Chinsky. He is our board president for Homer Center Library. So we are strong and mighty, Indiana County. We came to be very thankful and are glad that you offered a proclamation for National Library Week.
Thank you. I'll offer to any of you like to speak on behalf of your libraries. Don't be shy.
We think Jen did a great job.
We certainly appreciate the opportunity to come before you and certainly to accept this proclamation. But thank you, Board.
No, thank you for what you do. And Jen, being, I think you're the newest library out of them all, but it was something, if you think about it.
The building.
But think about it. At that time that you actually had that disaster, mm-hmm. You know, they could have just said right then and there,
I know,
we're done. Yeah. We're not going to offer it anymore. But they had vision, which is great. And they had opportunity for young and old to actually open it back up, to actually give them opportunity to share their visions within themselves. So I thank you all for, you know, doing what you do. Your doors are open. And every time I go into the library, I look for that. The card system, you know. Actually, she has one, but it's empty.
What a shame.
But thank you. Appreciate it. Any comments?
May I add that one thing that's also amazing that I found with the Indiana County Libraries, we have the most amazing volunteers. And so during National Library Week, I would absolutely say that as a library worker myself, we celebrate our volunteers because there is so much that we do that could not be done without them. Mm-hmm. So we have amazing boards, we have amazing volunteers who shelve and do all of those things that we may not have time for on our own without their support. So the support of this community is just invaluable.
Mm-hmm. Great. Teamwork.
Absolutely.
Yes.
It's truly one of the institutions that serves young to old, and everyone in between, and it's such a refuge, but also, as in the proclamation, really all about tech, and if you need a job, if you're a job seeker, lots of opportunities there, and I appreciate your leadership on the Workforce Investment Board's Youth Committee, and I know librarians in there, lots of service in the community, so you're a very, yes, you are an engine in this community, and we appreciate you very much. Thank you.
as a former member of the board of the Borough Township Library 3 times. It's a pattern. I can only say that I strongly support libraries and reading. Passions of reading is a passion of mine. So I strongly support the use of the funding of libraries, and would encourage people in the community to get involved in being one of those volunteers to keep our libraries vibrant. Thank you.
Yeah, since Commissioner Dunlap came aboard, we have our own library in the commissioner's office.
Actually, we started a library for employees in our kitchenette area.
Oh yeah?
Yeah, part of the wellness thing we did.
Okay, well, thank you. Our next proclamation is Week of the Young Child, April 11th through the 17th. And Commissioner Dunlap, would you like to start, please?
This proclamation recognizes the critical importance of early childhood education and development. It designates the Week of the Young Child as an opportunity to celebrate young children, their families, and the programs and services that support their growth and learning. The Week of the Young Child will be celebrated from April 11th through April 17th, 2026. Whereas the National Association for the Education of Young Children established the Week of the Young Child to celebrate the unique needs and the potential of young children and to recognize the importance of high quality early childhood education. Whereas the early years of a child's life lay the foundation for future success in school, work, and life, and it is essential that all children have access to high quality early learning opportunities and care.
And whereas families, early educators, and caregivers play a critical role in nurturing and educating young children and deserve recognition and support for the essential work they do every day. And whereas early childhood programs help build social, emotional, physical, and cognitive skills that are critical for lifelong success. And investing in young children strengthens families, communities, and our future workforce. And whereas communities benefit when local, state, and national efforts work together to support young children and their families and promote awareness of the importance of early learning opportunities.
And whereas the Week of the Young Child celebrates early learning and early educators, recognizes the importance of families and fosters communities that support our youngest learners. Whereas organizations such as the National Association for the Education of Young Children, early childhood education programs, and local community groups work tirelessly to improve the lives of young children and support their healthy development. Now, therefore, we, the Commissioners of Indiana County, do hereby proclaim April 11th through April 17th, 2026, as the Week of the Young Child in Indiana County, and encourage all members of our community to recognize this week through activities and events and celebrate young children, support families, and highlight the important work of early childhood educators. I offer this proclamation today, the 8th day of April, as a motion to the board.
Do I have a second?
Second.
All in favor, aye.
Aye.
What does it say? And do we have anybody here with us?
Yes, we have a number of people. I'm Great. Tracy Weaver, and I work Tracy. For the Pennsylvania Association for the Education of Young Children, which is the affiliate of the National Foods. State of Pennsylvania. Stephanie McAdoo is with Indie Kids. Elizabeth Marasco works for Trying Together, which is our Pittsburgh region chapter, and among other things that they do. Sherry Hamilton is with the Early Learning Resource Center, which covers, childcare and a lot of grants and things across the state, but she works in this region. Jen Villa is the Children's Advisory Commission. Everyone knows Jen, the Children's Advisory Commission coordinator. And we just want to thank you all for recognizing the Week of the Young Child in Indiana County. It's a celebration across Pennsylvania, across the country, to be honest with you. But we are so happy to be doing this locally. And we are having an event with the library. On Saturday, we're going to officially read the proclamation on the steps outside, and then we will be doing children's activities at the free library next door. So anyone who would 10 o'clock, we start at 10. Okay. At 10 o'clock, we will be gathering there with families, children from early learning sites, and people who want to come and be part of this little, proclamation reading, and then go to the library to do children's activities. We welcome everyone.
Sounds Great. Well, welcome to Indiana County.
Well, thank you.
Jen, any comments?
No, I don't really have anything. Great job. It's our second year doing this in Indiana County, so that's pretty exciting. Like Tracy mentioned, it does normally happen in bigger cities and across the nation, so to do it locally is really exciting. So we had a nice turnout last year, even though it was raining, but we're hopeful for a better turnout this Saturday. So we're really excited, and we just, you know, want to take the opportunity to recognize how important young children are, and for our future, and to care for them. So it's just really important.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. Next proclamation is National Crime Victims Rights Week. And Commissioner Hess, would you like to start?
All right. Thank you, Chairman. This is National Crime Victims Rights Week. Whereas National Crime Victims Rights Week will be commemorated April 19th through the 25th, 2026. And the 2026 theme is Listen, Act, Advocate, Protect Victims, Serve Communities. And whereas millions of Americans are directly harmed by crime each year, and each crime affects many more family members, friends, neighbors, and coworkers. And whereas the 2024 National Crime Victimization Survey reported that 7.34% of U.S. households experience one or more property victimizations, 1.45% of persons age 12 or older in the U.S. experienced at least one violent crime, 13 million property victimizations occurred, of which 48.3% were reported in rural households. 1.1 million domestic violence victimizations occurred, with 64% reported to the police. 782,000 intimate partner violence victimizations occurred, with 61% reported to the police. 10% of violent victimizations involved a firearm, with 75% reported to the police. And only 8% of all violent victimizations received assistance from a victim service provider. And whereas Alice Paul House, Indiana County's sole comprehensive victim service organization, provided 8,321 advocacy hours to 2,198 victims during the fiscal year 24-25.
Whereas the term victim is more than a label and carries legal standing and protections. Whereas crime can leave lasting physical, emotional, and financial impacts on people of all ages and abilities and of all economic, racial, and social backgrounds. Whereas the Federal Victims of Crime Act of 1984 and the PA Crime Victims Rights Act of 1998, as strengthened by Act 77, guarantees victims legal standing and enforces their rights to safety, information, and participation throughout the criminal justice process. Whereas victim service providers, advocates, law enforcement officers, attorneys, and other professionals assist providers, survivors by helping enforce those rights. And whereas the right to provide a victim impact statement ensures victims' voices are considered during sentences and, when applicable, restitution. And whereas including and elevating the voices of survivors ensures they are heard and seen and helps forge and sustain community trust. And whereas engaging survivors leads to responses and services that are credible, meaningful, and centered on individual needs.
And whereas survivors' lived experiences can serve as a catalyst for innovative programs, improvements to existing services, and changes to policies or practices that prevent survivors from accessing services or pursuing justice. And whereas National Crime Victims Rights Week provides an opportunity to listen to survivors of crime in every space where decisions are made that may impact them. And whereas the Indiana County Commissioners are dedicated to amplifying the voices of survivors and supporting those who assist victims by fostering an environment where survivors feel safe to speak and be heard. Now therefore be it proclaimed that the Indiana County Commissioners do hereby proclaim April 19th, through the 25th, 2026, as Crime Victims Rights Week in Indiana County, reaffirming the county's commitment to providing responsive victim services and a criminal justice system that assists all victims of crime during Crime Victims Rights Week and throughout the year. And be it further proclaimed that we express our sincere gratitude and appreciation to the community members, victim service providers, and criminal justice professionals whose dedication improves our response to victims of crimes, helping them find meaningful assistance, support, Justice, and Peace. Dated this 8th day of April, 2026, I offer this as a motion. Do I have a second?
Second.
All in favor, aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, the same. And to start off, audio. Would you like to?
I'd like to first thank the commissioners for this proclamation. National Crime Victims Rights Week is throughout the nation, as well as at our state capitol. We will have the rally there on Monday the 20th. I also want to thank, of course, our partners, the District Attorney's Office, the Chamber of Commerce, Downtown Indiana, Indiana County Tourist Bureau, Pennsylvania State Police, Indiana Barracks, Indiana Borough Police Department, and Indiana County Probation Department. We were very fortunate. I felt that it was important that we write this grant, which was provided to us through the Office of Justice Programs, the Office of Victim Advocacy, through the National Association for VOCA Assistance, that we highlight that our rural community is just as important on the national spectrum to highlight our survivors of all crimes that fall under, especially for us as a victim advocacy organization, Title 18. We're very excited to have a weeks-long event in our community. We will be posting on social media and advertising, radio, as far as National Crime Victims Rights Week here in Indiana County. And on the 22nd at the Welcome Center, our new Welcome Center, we will be hosting an event where the commissioners will be there. We will have survivors speaking and we will have giveaways. So we do ask you to please come and participate. Check out our social media on the Alice Paul House website and Facebook and Instagram, as well as the District Attorney's Office. And we do have representatives, District Attorney Manzi and his staff are here also.
Hey, thank you, Lee. District Attorney Manzi, good morning.
Good morning, Commissioners. Thank you for taking the time in a very busy morning with a lot of important issues to recognize the importance of upholding the rights of victims of crime. We work in the criminal justice system and throughout our community very diligently to try to stop crime before it even happens. But unfortunately, there will always be crime. There will always be victims of crime. We are fortunate in my office to work with incredible partners, our law enforcement departments, our probation departments that are enforcing sentences with no contact orders with victims and restitution payments, our sheriff's department, all of our partners, and obviously the Alice Paul House, who is an incredible partner and has been an incredible partner in the criminal justice system for many years. Audie and I and their staff, if I needed to call somebody at 3 o'clock in the morning, because crime doesn't happen just between 9 and 5, I'm going to get somebody on the phone any day of the week, any time of the day. So I do appreciate you taking the time to recognize the importance of the victims' rights. There are many, many days where I wish we would properly name it the victims' justice system instead of the criminal justice system, but maybe that's something we can work on next year. Thank you.
Thank you, District Attorney Mandy. I just want to say that you've heard the statement, see something, report it. Believe me, there's things that go on in our county and across our entire nation that people see, but they don't report it because they're scared, first of all, or they don't want to stand up, or they don't want to get involved. And I'd ask you, if you're one of those people, just think about that. Put yourself in that victim's shoes. If somebody else saw you as a victim, would you want them to stand up for you? Because some of these people, they can't. So I want to thank Audia and your entire team for what you do for Indiana County. Again, the comments the district attorney made with all his staff and the team of law enforcement agencies, and it goes in all directions, CYS. I mean, this goes in so many directions. But again, it's victims have rights too.
And we need to appreciate that. And again, if you see something, you need to report it. Comments?
Well, I'm just going to elaborate on what you said. It seems like I've worked in human services so many years, and it seems like every meeting I go to, and I was just at a meeting yesterday where we said the same thing. If you've been protected enough to never have anything happen to you, you never have to worry about the resources. So you don't pay attention to the resources. And then you come across situations where people say, this is happening to me. I don't know where to go. We have such a great community of resources here. And I would say, if you don't know where to go, reach out to us, but call 211, because that's the listing of all the health and human services in the county to be able to get networked in. I think, like I said, I've sat at so many meetings and people just have things that happen to them and they are just totally lost. So let's help each other along.
Well, you heard the statistics and I can name all those numbers, but each one of those represents an individual whose life and their family's life and the people in their lives have been affected by it. So it does take an enormous system to address that. And we are very fortunate in Union County to have this ecosystem of organizations and agencies and government organizations to make that happen. So these aren't just jobs that you do, it's a calling and you take it very seriously, all of you. And I appreciate that. So thank you.
Okay. Your next proclamation is Fair Housing Month, April 2026. Whereas the Fair Housing Act, enacted on April 11, 1968, enshrined into federal law the goal of eliminating racial segregation and ending housing discrimination in the United States. And whereas the Fair Housing Act prohibits discrimination in housing based on race, color, religion, sex, familial status, national origin, and disability, and commits recipients of federal funding to affirmative further fair housing in their communities.
And whereas Indiana is committed to the mission and intent of Congress to provide fair and equal housing opportunities for all. Whereas our social fabric, the economy, health, and environment are all strengthened in diverse, inclusive communities. And whereas more than 50 years after the passage of the Fair Housing Act, discrimination persists and many communities remain segregated.
Whereas acts of housing discrimination and barriers to equal housing opportunity are repugnant to the common sense of decency and fairness. Now, therefore, be it resolved that we, the commissioners of Indiana County, do hereby declare the month of April 2026 as Fair Housing Month in Indiana County, as an inclusive community committed to fair housing and to promoting appropriate activities by private and public entities to provide and advocate for equal housing opportunities for all residents and prospective residents of Indiana County. Present this proclamation today for consideration.
Do I have a second?
Second.
All in favor, aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, the same. And with this, Ms. Zach. Good morning.
Good morning. Thank you once again for supporting our Fair Houses proclamation. And we have with us, we are fortunate last 2 years that the PA Realtors, Dustin and his group, have assisted with promoting fair housing opportunities. And if you drive along the main highways, you will see the billboards and saw them throughout Indiana County already and in Armstrong County was when I was just through. So I'm going to let you go ahead
My name is Sherry Kumpel. I'm a local realtor in the area. I do want to just, you know, my appreciation for you and this proclamation and recognizing this. As realtors, fair housing is something we are on the front lines, but we are promoting and we are out there educating the consumers and the buyers and sellers and our local neighborhoods here. So we know that this is not just a policy, it's a way of life for our community, and we're just thank you for this.
Thank you.
I do want to just say though, and I'm not going to take credit for saying this. I think I heard it on TV, but fair housing is good business. And I think everybody needs to remember that. When we all have an opportunity to live where we want to and to live with dignity in safe and decent housing, it's good business for everybody.
Awesome. We appreciate what you do. And again, thank you for your services to the county and truly appreciate it.
We mentioned the workshop.
Oh, yeah.
On April 15th, the Housing Consortium is having a landlord walk-off. We are doing it over at 280 Indian Springs Road. If anybody would like to participate, they are more than welcome. All we ask is that you contact, you can contact them, or Shannon Jackson down at the Housing Authority. We just want to make sure we know how many people are coming. There's no cost, but we have a nice variety of speakers coming in. They were, there's Blanche Hebling from Summit Legal will be there to discuss fair housing and various topics throughout there. So please feel welcome to come.
Our DA will be there to talk about drugs. He left already. But he will be there to talk about drugs and what you do if you find drugs and how you identify them. We have someone coming to talk about fire extinguishers and the law. We have someone talking about service animals. So it's a wide variety of topics, and it's targeted for landlords in Indiana County.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Okay. Next, in February, we had a proclamation for Black History Month, and with us today, we have Carolyn Princess, who is the president of the NAACP. And Carol, would you like to offer comment?
Sure. Hi, everyone. Hello. What do I say? We had a proclamation in Black History Month, and we felt it needed a little more defining. The proclamation is typically presented to Indiana County NAACP. We will work across the county, work everywhere with everyone. We listen, we act, and we serve. And so the county commissioner, we met with the county commissioners, and they agreed and that we will be presented with the proclamation for Black History Month that we've done for at least probably 20 years. And we work hard on trying to ensure equity, political rights, civil rights, inclusion. That's for all people of the county, all people. We work on inclusion. We work on social justice. We work on a number of things. And so I wanted to make sure we understood that Indiana County NAACP, what we're doing. We don't work with one county, one town, one nothing. We work across. We listen, we learn, we serve, and we act. And so I'm very appreciative that the county commissioners agreed to present the proclamation to Indiana County NAACP, which we've done for all these years. And so that's why we're here. We have some representatives and some members here. This standing next to me is our legal regist chair. We have our treasurer. We have our community member. And we have our partner in crime, Indiana Area School District. So we work across with all different groups. Oh, I'm sorry. She's up there. I'm going to do that. And we have our lifetime member of the NAACP and also our labor and industry chair, and among others. She does a lot of different things. So I wanted to make sure that the people were represented, that they knew that we as a county respect what we do as part of the NAACP. That's all we wanted, because we work hard. These people this is just a few of the people, by the way. We worked very hard to serve the county and to help to make the community a better place. And we particularly focus on our young, our youth, our young children. And so I wanted to make sure everyone understood that. And I'm very thankful for the county commissioners for listening to us, kind of trying to address the concern we had. And then we're going to take a beautiful picture and it's going to be spread all over the newspaper, right? So anyway, and I sit here and I listen to all the different things we do. It takes a community. It takes a family. It takes all of us. I mean, we do work with almost everyone in this room. Mm-hmm. And our only goal is to make this community a place for all of us. Because NAACP, while it you guys know this, we target people of color. We're trying to make life better for them. Yeah. But in doing that, we have to make sure we bring along the other people that we have to work with every day. And that's what we do. And the school district, you know, that's my field. That's my area of concern. So we're always trying to involve the children, trying to make it better for them, trying to get them to think. And before I leave, I just want to say one more thing. We're having a program on AI. It's called the AI Craze. I'm sorry, you heard this, Jen, already.
No, let's hear it again.
What is that? What is it all about? And what does that mean for us? And then on June 19th, we're doing our annual Juneteenth celebration, and it's titled Humans, Humanoids, and Robotics. So where have we come from 1865 to now? And then where did we go? And then how do we adjust and put these things in there and keep our people, humans, thinking for themselves and not telling them what to think? So anyway, I just had to get that little push in there. Thank Commissioner Hess, Commissioner Heath, and Donna. Thank you so much for giving us this opportunity to make the wrong that we felt right. That's all I have to say. Does anybody else have anything to say? No? Thank you. All right. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you for coming and thank you to the guests. Let's go ahead and, Carolyn.
Oh,
Carolyn. Let's take your group right now. Since you're up, let's get pictures.
We'll get.
And then we'll start right down the road.
Yeah.
What's your name, Jim?
Sit down. I think just right there.
Open the park commission up. Yeah. Turn it up. Yeah. Open it up and flatten it out. Open it up and flatten it out. Hold it flat.
Look, Carolyn, it's like that.
Perfect.
Okay. It's like there's a pictures. It's like a point presence world with like matches and but he's like the next group.
That's okay, I understand.
Yeah, it was like
I'm gonna come next to you.
Thank you. Or the idiot who's holding the camera, take your choice.
I think that's our population.
Yeah, it is. I was like, I only saw all these statistics, and I was like, I think that's the wrong one. Do you want to take a new picture with the right one?
Hold on, is this library report?
The right
proclamation. All right.
Wait, did you have the wrong proclamation?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay, look at me. Thank you.
This way, please.
We'll both group together. Yeah, in case you zoom in and then you're like, why you want
to? Yeah, a lot of statistics.
Good catch, Whitney.
Thank you.
Okay.
Luann, can you take
a Crime the Victim Week.
Are you sure?
Yes.
Yes.
See?
Yeah. I'm reading right from the broadcast. Yeah.
I lived in Pedro for a long time.
Okay,
12 years. So.
Okay, yeah. I drive a truck. Yeah, I drive a truck.
I know, I'm running for the library on there.
I'll wait till you're done the manner, okay?
Okay.
Well, hold on. Thank you. Hold on.
Multiple phones.
Okay.
Thank you.
Oh, we will. The one who fell
out. I don't think so. So long.
Is this
your
first
Thank you. Have a great day.
So, Byron.
I have a number from
Luann. Kath.
Yeah. What a great time. No, it's so fun.
I'm standing next to Matt. Equals.
Or April, get up here.
Yeah.
Uh-oh.
She thought she didn't talk, nobody would see her.
Okay, which one is this?
Gosh, county government. Government.
You're here,
okay.
Take our iPhone, but thank you. Sorry.
I'm going out to my car after this because
squeeze in.
There
we go. Hold.
Okay.
All right, we're good.
Thanks.
Okay. Next, the Office of Planning and Development, and we have a resolution for Fair Housing.
Yes. Office of Planning and Development is requesting that the board approve the resolution for fair housing for Indiana County and on behalf of the community. The Community Development Block Grant Entitlement Communities of Indiana Borough and Center Township. The resolution identifies publicly how Indiana County, including the on behalf of communities, will promote, educate, and aid in the enforcement of Title VIII of the Civil Rights Act of the 1968 Federal Fair Housing Act, Pennsylvania Human Relations Act, and any other local laws or ordinances. The actions identified for implementation of further fair housing will include at a minimum of publicizing the name and contact information of the designated fair housing officer for Indiana County, including the on behalf of communities of the borough, Indiana Borough and Center Township, conducting a minimum of one fair housing activity annually, which is our fair housing workshop next week for this year, and utilizing the fair housing logo on all materials dealing with housing programs.
Okay. Do I have a motion to approve the resolution?
So moved.
Second. All in favor, aye. Aye. Opposed, the same.
Okay.
The next resolution, Lumen?
Yeah, and continuing on, we're also requesting that the board adopt the resolution designating the fair housing officer to comply with the federal fair housing law and the Pennsylvania Human Relations Act and identify a complaint process. The fair housing officer includes the County of Indiana and Indiana County on behalf of the Indiana Borough and Center Township as designated by the Community Development Block Grant Entitlement Grantees. Fair housing officer is available to assist any resident that believes they have been discriminated against based on federal, state, and local laws and ordinances. The duties include receiving all complaints of fair housing discrimination and taking appropriate action to resolve the complaint as required. The Office of Planning and Development hereby requests and recommends that Christina Coleman, our Community Development Analyst, be designated to serve as the fair housing officer this year, and the complaint process as outlined be approved. The notice of the fair housing officer and the complaint process will be published in the Indiana Gazette on April 9th, 2026, and will also be posted on the Indiana County Planning Office's website.
Okay, thank you.
Motion. Gina couldn't be here, just to let you know that. Okay.
Motion to approve the resolution?
So moved.
Second?
Thank
you. All in favor, aye. Opposed, the same. Thank you, Luann. Okay, next we have a purchase for a reality work baby simulator program. April, would you like to present, please?
Sure. I'm April from Children and Youth Services. I'm also the IL coordinator for Independent Living Services. So the state of Pennsylvania mandates that all children and youth have an independent living program for youth 14 to 23 year old youth. And these are youth that have been involved with Children and Youth Services. So part of the independent living is providing classes and skills so they could develop into adulthood. So one of those classes we have had in the past involved using the baby simulators. Unfortunately, our simulators are at least 16 years old and are no longer working. And there's been so many more updates with the simulators now as far as programming and the data you can collect. So what was created in the past is one of actually our old foster youth created the curriculum for the program called Baby Think It Over through Independent Living Services. And it speaks to pregnancy prevention. It speaks to the effort and time into raising a baby, the decisions you have to make, the financial aspects of having a child. And part of that class involves the reality babies. We are asking for 10 babies, which is more than we've had in the past, but our population that we serve now is approximately 200 youth. So we asked for more of the babies that they could be used during this class.
Yeah.
Any questions regarding the year's class?
Nope, nothing. Okay. So do I have a motion to purchase?
I'll make the motion to purchase.
Second?
Second.
All in favor, aye.
Yeah.
Aye. Opposed, the same? Okay. Thank you, April.
I think I have a question. April, I do have a quick question.
Sure.
The babies there, are they representative of the different demographics?
Yes.
I saw
Yeah, I saw something that made a reference to it. And I just
curious. Yeah, so we're able to pick out different races. We also are asking in the proposal. There's a one baby simulator is a shaken baby that that you can the you will actually be able to see what happens and that baby is shaken, like the brain lights up.
Yeah,
there is a substance abuse or substance exposed child simulator, and then also a developmentally disabled child as well. But yeah, so they're very they're really cool. The kids love to do it, and it really does get a real life experience of what it's like to care for a baby. Yeah.
So a lot different than 16 years ago.
Yes. Yeah.
They scream any louder.
They're very loud, and we can actually. It's really cool because the program lets us set it. So like, if we have a youth who wants to have like a really hard baby or a colicky baby, we can set it that way.
Okay.
So they can really experience the different levels of what it means to be a parent, and then to be a young parent on top of that. So.
Yeah.
And then they'll be able to take the babies home for, I think, a weekend.
Yeah, they take them. We do our classes on Friday night, so then they'll have the chance to take them home on Friday night. They have them for the entire weekend until Monday morning, so then we pick them up. So.
And then you could collect the data to see if they fed them, if they gave them tummy time, like just all that things. Just
give us a report out of everything. Yeah.
Or if, even if they were abusive. Which...
They have like heat exposure, so they'll tell us if they like only like kept them wrapped in a blanket for the entire weekend. The clothes themselves have simulators. They really have to interact with the simulation to pass the class. So, which is cool.
Good.
Well, thank you.
Okay, next we have a memorandum of understanding between the county and the Indiana County Airport Municipal Authority. And Solicitor Budash, would you like to present, please?
Thank you, Commissioner. Before the board is a memorandum of understanding between the county and the County Airport Municipal Authority. And what it does is it sets forth the responsibilities of both the county and the authority in terms of what each is responsible for, given that there's been some restructuring there, the board thought this was a good idea to put these things in writing. So, for instance, the responsibilities of the county, just a few, they're all enumerated in the memorandum of understanding: day-to-day operations, maintenance, administrative function, construction projects, leasing to tenants, management of airport employees, just to name a few. The authority has advice and oversight. The goal there is for them to provide those types of things on projects that the authority members who understand the operations of an airport can provide their expertise to this board on. And then have the board carry those functions out. So I would ask this board approve the memorandum of understanding.
Okay, thank you. I'll make a motion for approval. Do I have a second?
Second.
All in favor, aye.
I do have a question aye. Before the vote. So it looks like the county is going to take on quite a few new functions. And
correct.
And we do have the capacity to do that. We didn't hire any extra people. We just absorbed those functions. Is that
correct?
Okay,
that's part of the restructuring of the commissioner's office.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, all in favor, aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, the same. Okay, next we have assignments of leases.
That's correct. There are at present 26 leases, their hangar or land leases at the airport. There may be more. We're still going through the list of those, so this is not an inclusive list. And currently, those leases were buying between the tenant and the airport authority. Given that, one, the county is actually the landowner, the building owner, this leases probably should have been with the county to begin with. But under the structure of the old board, the authority took responsibility for that. Under this new memorandum of understanding, the county is assuming the responsibility for the leases. So the authority is assigning these 26 leases to the county. And those are an Alan Favuto, an Antonio DiFlippio, Ashwarne Waldar, Berlin Airlift Historical Foundation, Lake Ketchum, Civil Air Patrol, Edward Joyce, Frederick Fuller, Glenn Ishoy, Gregory Henderson, Harold Snyder, Indiana Flying Club, John Daniel, K&K Commercial Leasing LLC, Kenneth Cioroli, Keystone State Aviation the third, Nathaniel Arthurs, Sean Fulner, there's two for that individual, Thomas Judkins, Wayne R. Maynard, there's two for Brad Kratz doing business as Advanced Water Aerial Works and Avionics LLC, Colin Miller, Lachane Aviation LLC, and Riziki Cafe LLC.
Okay. I'll make a motion to approve the assignment of the leases. Do I have a second?
Second.
All in favor, aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, the same? Okay. Thank you, Mel. Okay, next we have a board appointment to the Redevelopment Authority. And Ms. Mary I, would you like to present?
I'm asking the board to appoint Robert D. Williams to the Redevelopment Authority. This term will expire January of 2027.
Do I have a motion to approve?
So moved.
Second?
Second.
All in favor, aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, the same? Okay. Any other business we brought before the board today? Hearing none, our next regular meeting will be held here at the hearing room April 22nd at 10:30 a.m. Do I have a motion to adjourn?
Second.
Second. All in favor, aye.
Aye.
Opposed, the same?